Charlie Mitchell is owner and captain of the New Bedford-based tug Jaguar. He tells about his role in the rescue of a coastal cruiser that ran into trouble on Sow and Pigs Reef.
The vessel in question was called the Pilgrim Belle, which was built as a coastal cruise vessel. And on this particular one, I think they had 100 folks of retirement age on board, along with the crew and stewards and staff. And they were on a voyage from probably Vineyard Haven, somewhere that way, over toward Newport, which brought them in the vicinity of Sow and Pigs Reef. And they went right along over the reef and got a tremendous amount of damage on the bottom, but did not stick on the reef. They continued over and then dropped the anchor and had made, as it turned out, a huge gash in the compartment underneath the cruise quarters, which was a major compartment on the vessel and just forward of the engine room. And that immediately flooded to the waterline level. Ultimately, if the second major compartment flooded, that would have made the vessel capsize. A vessel could survive, according to the naval architect, the flooding of one major compartment and one minor compartment, which would have been the lazarette, as long as the rest were dry. But it was a fairly top-heavy looking vessel, and that was making everybody very nervous, of course. They called a mayday, and the Coast Guard responded, sending first probably a 41 or a 44 from New Hampshire. I got wind of it on the marine radio, listening to the traffic, and prepared to get underway. The Coast Guard effort ended up not making much progress. Their pumps didn't seem to be adequate to pump water from the distance, the head distance down, and particularly the lengths from where they could access it to where they could discharge overboard, because the vessel was essentially closed in, except for a few hatches here and there at the deck level. It was also made vastly more difficult by debris floating in each of the compartments, most notably in the lazarette where the liquor was stored, in little swizzle sticks and napkins and T-shirts and all kinds of stuff that was all floating around and clogging the strainers in the pumps. And they had to constantly be cleaned. The Coast Guard pumps, when they would do that, would end up taking quite a long time to get the prime back, if at all. One of my guys was a ex-Coast Guard guy, Dave De Oliveira, intensely practical guy, very direct, and he took the 3-inch pump, and that area in the second major compartment under the salon was unreachable with a normal pump hose setup because it was all closed in, and they had tables and windows at the edge of the table, but anywhere you tried to go around and out a door, you had to go an awful long way. So he took the suction hose and put it in the bottom of the compartment and set the pump on the table, took a fire extinguisher to knock the window out, which might have horrified anybody if it wasn't actually going to save the vessel. It occurred to him that that would be a good idea, and it was. So he was able to immediately start that pump and pump it full capacity of the 3-inch pump, which was significantly more than everybody else's 2-inch pumps, and pump that compartment right down. He then got down with wedges and shingles that we had in our stock. I was able to patch that leak, which took a lot of pressure off the tendency for the vessel to capsize. But it was probably touch and go. It was no safe job for the people inside the boat. But Dave De Oliveira and the other guys moved their attention back there, set up our 3-inch pump. We made strainers out of plastic trash cans and 5-gallon cans and put them inside of each other, and then put the pump strainer inside of that, and it made for a lot longer cycles of pumping as compared with cleaning. Plus, our pumps did pick up the prime faster. After this was well over, several weeks after, the National Transportation Safety Board asked if they could come down and talk to us about our pumps and why our pumps worked. Even though they were very similar in description to the Coast Guard pumps, our pumps worked much better. So we were able to give them some insights on that, which probably led to changes in the Coast Guard methodology.
Voices from the Port is produced by the Working Waterfront Festival with funding from Mass Humanities. To learn more about the commercial fishing industry, visit New Bedford, America's number one port.